This is WWE Hall of Famer, The Think, Howard Finkel, and you're listening to the Nerd Coalition.
Welcome to
No Gimmicks Needed!
Yes! 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 Yes!
If you can survive, if I let you.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man! Woo!
The kids do big that sucker.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Yeah, here you see a punk. Welcome back to the No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Andy, and joining me is my other co-host coming down off tour is the man, the myth, the reality, Q Flow Flow the Rookie.
I don't know what tour I was going on, but we here, man.
Man, you was on that you was on that Camaro Flow tour, man, that world, that neighborhood tour.
Cut it out.
Yeah, man, he was over there, man. He was dropped. I heard you won an award, so congratulations to the people out there in the public. I don't know what the award is, but you won something.
Oh, no. Nah, I just won a, every Friday they do this critique thing, and if you get song of the night, you get playlisted. And I just happened to win that night. It was dope though, man. It was dope.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just dropped the song. Like I had to drop the song though, because it's a weird situation that it's gonna take some time to talk about. So
gotcha.
Let's just look. But yeah, I appreciate that though. Thank you.
Oh yeah, congratulations to that. So yeah. My man Q Flow's out there doing big things, but I'm glad you know you're here to talk a little bit about some wrestling. So, I'm glad to have you back. I trust me, I know wrestling ain't been the most entertaining thing going on in 2020.
Yes, it has. I've been loving this
Thunderdome
Reigns Uso stuff. Oh,
I knew he was gonna be loving the Reigns Uso thing.
Oh yeah, because you know I want them boys to go heel.
Yeah, back to being heel, back when it was good, you know.
Right.
Yo, all that thug crying on SmackDown, I said, I know he loving all this. I hate you! that joke was great. So welcome back to the No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast. We got a couple things to talk about today, obviously, to play catch up on. And certain things are more opinion-based. But first, let's give a shout-out to SpacesPhilly.com. Make sure you guys check out SpacesPhilly.com. And check out the black podcast they got over there from the Lulu and Pop Horror War Show, especially around Halloween just passed us. And check out Both Sides and the Mark and Dark Show. Check out the Nerd Coalition's content over there as well, the No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast, Nerdgasm Talk Podcast, Turntables, Hip Hop Culture and Beyond, Drunk Thoughts, Sober Tongues. Make sure you guys also check out all of us on all your podcast apps such as Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher, and many, many more. Podbean, so we're on all that kind of stuff. Then make sure you guys, if you like, listen to us on YouTube, listen to the snippets. You guys can check out the YouTube Premium. But full podcasts will be on all the podcast apps if you guys are looking for that. And wait, but before, it's getting colder outside, y'all. It really is getting a little bit colder. So what y'all need to do is two things. One, you need to put a hoodie on. And the best way you can do that is you got to go to TheRealNerdCoalition.com. Make sure you go to TheRealNerdCoalition.com to buy your NC Studios hoodies, your NC Level Up hoodies, your retro hoodies, your No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast hoodies. But also, man, look, y'all can't remember, no matter what happens, we still part of this pandemic, man. We're going to be part of this pandemic for a little bit more months to come since we're going through the second wave. So how do you fight the second wave of the COVID out there? I'll tell you how y'all fight it. Y'all got to get y'all Nerd Coalition Studio Mask, man. Nerd Coalition Studio Mask, Nerd Coalition Level Up Mask. We are all out there. Make sure y'all guys fight COVID-19. Nerd Coalition style and get your mask on out there. But that's not the only apparel we got on there, man. You guys got to check out Q Flow, the War Drum, stuff that we got over there as well, such as the Layover. You know, say I got my Layover hoodie and I got my Nerd Coalition Studios hoodie. So I'm already ready for the fall and the winter time. but I need y'all to go out there and be fly as well. Also, check out Q-Flow's hot album from 2019, The War Drum, that's on TheRealNerdCoalition.com. And the man got more projects out there. So, Q-Flow, real quick, just tell them where they can get, you know, the quick projects for Q-Flow or anything new that's coming out.
Oh, yeah. Y'all can, wherever y'all listen to y'all music, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, YouTube, wherever you listen to your music, it's all there.
Okay, that's good, man. So, yeah, I make sure, you know, the bills and get that stuff out the way and everything like that. So, let's go real quick. I know this first topic you are going to be a little bit unfamiliar with, so I'll take the driver's seat. But over the weekend, we just lost another wrestling icon, Tracy Smothers, passed away at the age of 58. He was suffering from, I want to make sure I get this right, because, what was it? It was a lymphoma, I believe it was, that he was suffering from. That it wasn't terminal when he was diagnosed in it, because in November of last year. But then he died almost about a year later at the age of 58. So I don't know if it was a disease related to that. I don't know if he caught COVID and it heightened the thing up. Because a lot of times people got to say something. COVID deaths, it's just like AIDS deaths. And what I mean by that is, if you die from COVID, just like if you die from AIDS, they don't put on your death certificate, this person died from COVID or died from AIDS. They die from complications because, you know, when you catch AIDS, it breaks your immune system down. So that means you could catch pneumonia and die, or a cold and die, just got nothing to fight it off with. So you never know that if COVID came in the picture, if this man's illness got worse because there's nothing to protect his body, if that was the case. So there'd just be, a respect there. Tracy Smothers was, I grew up watching WCW. So he was in WCW from 1990 to like 1992, like that early 90s. I started watching in 1992. So he was right before me. I'm thinking this is the Bill Watts era. And stuff from the 90s and 1992, stuff like that. Actually, I think that Bill Watts is maybe 92 and a little bit down. But he was there, and he was in a tag team. I forgot what the tag team was, but he was there. And then I know they had a little rivalry with Doom, which was the Ron Simmons, Butch Reed tag team at the time. And, so he did a little bit of things there. The Southern Boys was the name, and then they went against the Fabulous Freebirds at Clash of Champions a couple of times in the early 90s. So a lot of things that he has been more famous for the WCW things were the times that were when I didn't even know what wrestling was. Actually, I was what, 3-4 years old at that time before I started watching it in 92. Then in 92, when he left, he went to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I didn't watch any of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling stuff. So that was a Jim Cornette promotion that he came up with back in the 90s. And I didn't know anything about Smoky Mountain. At that time, it was WCW, WWF. And WWF, at that time, didn't have Raw until 93. Because he was watching Superstars or Tuesday Night Titans and stuff like that. So he wasn't watching Raw yet. He did make a return. He did come to WWE or WWF in 96, 97, right when we're at the end of the New Generation era, just on the bridge going over to the Attitude Era. And then he came in as Freddie Joe Briscoe, which was Freddie Joe Floyd, which was a rib that Vince did on him to make fun of their front office official, Freddie Joe Briscoe and Gerald Floyd Briscoe. And he came from Bowlegs, Oklahoma, which is a weird, I don't even want to go to that state or go wherever that's at. Made fun of him there. And he was mostly doing dark matches, and then had a couple of matches like on Raw, like with Mankind and Triple H, you know, at that time. But once again, at that time, I was all Nitro at that time, so I didn't even see it. At that time, then he went over to Extreme Championship Wrestling and then did a little stint over there from like the late 90s, 97, 99 to 99 with the Full-Blooded Italians. I remember the Full-Blooded Italians with...
I remember the Full-Blooded Italians.
Yeah, with little Guido and Ninzino and all that. I remember the Football Italians, and he was a part of it for a short amount of time. And they used to say he's from Southern Italy, and they try to throw him in there. But then after ECW went under, he did independent circuit for about 20 years. And like I said, he went from independent circuit here and a couple of things there. And then 2010, he had to stop in TNA. And this is at the time where I know everybody was bringing in TNA stuff. And he was there doing a little thing with what they used to call EV 2.0. That was the Extreme Version 2.0, the whole ECW guys that came into TNA, stuff like that. But it was only for that 1 year. So I don't, you know, he was a legend in the business. A lot of people came out and expressed their grief for this man passing away. Died young, 58 years old. Is not old anymore, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, I'll be blessed to live to see that age, but you know, everybody would love to see, you can always live longer, you know what I'm saying? Enjoy more life out there. But so God bless him, bless his family. He gets condolences from me, and may he rest in peace. I didn't want to do this podcast without mentioning him, but I do know that my knowledge of him is not as broad as it could be, because he was before my time, and then the times that he was trying to do stuff other places, I wasn't watching that company. So, you know, there you have it there. But I will honor fallen wrestlers on this podcast as I usually do. So,
hey, for sure.
Yep. Let's go on to let's start off with this first, and then we can go into the drama. So, we all love Netflix, right? I mean, I know I do. And I have been binge-watching the UPN shows that has come on there. Which, by the way, side note, Flo, I finished Lovecraft Country. Love that show. And I finished
The Boys?
And I finished The Boys.
All right.
I finished both of them. So, when I told Sway, when we ready to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? But, because I wanted to do episode review. What you say?
I said, yeah, for sure. I got to get in on that.
Yeah, I see. Because both them shows were great. So, but I just side note. But on Netflix, I've been watching all the UPN show. Well, some of the UPN shows. I wasn't a fan of all of them. But I've been watching that. But we got news that Vince McMahon is getting a documentary on Netflix. Netflix and WWE Studios are producing a Vince McMahon 4-part documentary. Now, here's the thing. I love Netflix contents. Netflix does great documentaries. 4-part documentaries. I've seen some great documentaries. Here's, as soon as I seen it say WWE Studios, I said, this is not going to be the story you want. And what I mean by that is, they're going to pack this thing with so much fluff that Vince going to have a cushion falling out of a 100-story building. Because if you want to find out the true, Vince McMahon got a lot of shit. Like, I would love to sit back and listen to the whole story of Vince McMahon, Vincent Candy McMahon, but to know the down, the dirty, the just the unbiased stuff, because they're going to make this man like a saint. And we all know that Vince McMahon ain't no saint.
Ain't no saint.
At all. And they're going to make this guy look like, they're not going to talk about him in a negative light, which they may think is a negative light. In other words, you're not going to get a Dark Side of the Ring type documentary like you are with WWE. WWE's not going to talk about, you know the suitcase that, what was in that suitcase that got Jimmy Snuka off, you know what I'm saying? What's up with the steroid trial, the racial insensitivity, all that stuff that Vince McMahon is accused of, for especially the Owen Hart stuff, all that stuff that man, he's not going to be painted in a negative light. That's just right there. Well, would I like to see a documentary? Sure. It'll be something new, something to check out. But it's like with somebody who is so wrapped up in controversy, or somebody who's so wrapped up in, like, he's 70 something years old. He's done a lot in his life. And, you know, somebody who actually didn't come up in privilege like everybody thought he did. Like, he came up hard. He really did come up harder. But the shady stuff that Vince McMahon has done, and some of the things that I would like to get his opinion on it, or his side of the opinion on it. But I just know that some of the things that deep down that I want to know is not going to be in there. And by the way, Chris Smith, who is the guy who directed the Fyter Fest documentary, will produce along with WWE Studios. So, I mean, I did like the Fyter Fest documentary, but remember they had the Hulu one, they had the Netflix one.
The Netflix one, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I watched both of them. So, just real quick, your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry. You broke up. Say that.
I said your thoughts on that when it comes to this having his own documentary.
I mean, that's cool. You got your own documentary. I am in no way, shape, or form going to support it because he's a piece of shit. So I'm not. And we're gonna get into it too with, you know, with the rest of the topics. But like, you were doing some damn near, I don't even know how this shit is legal. The shit you've been doing this year, I'm not supporting that man in his documentary. And I know they gonna sugarcoat the hell out of it.
Yeah.
The man said nigga on TV. Like, are we kidding me? Yeah. Are you kidding me? No, I don't care. I'm not supporting it. I'm not watching it. Netflix, I don't know what you're doing. There's a lot of wrestlers who could have gotten the documentary. I don't know why you picked Vince Kennedy McMahon.
They probably picked because he does got a compelling story. The question is it going to be a truthful story? But right now, the wrestlers, because Dark Side of the Ring Season 3 is being filmed right now. So they are filming Season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring. The question, we don't know what the stories are, or who they're interviewing, or how. I think it's going to be, I think they got a 13-episode season this time because of how successful Season 2 was. Like, it was Season 1 was successful, and then, of course, Season 2 was successful as well. Real successful. So, I don't know what stories that they're probably going to do, but they're filming Dark Side of the Ring Season 3 now. So, but the Vince McMahon, it's just not going to be what I think everybody is going to think it's going to be. And it doesn't help because now WWE has come out and they have suspended WWE superstars' Twitch accounts and Cameo accounts. So there are superstars that are no longer allowed to have Twitch accounts or have Cameo accounts. And it just was suspended. So a lot of people that was known, like Mia Yim has been taken down, AJ Styles has been taken down, Paige has been taken down, and she was the most vocal one about her Twitch coming down. There, I don't think Big E has his Cameo anymore because Roman Reigns and Big E been using Cameo. And Big E was the one that was making the most off Cameo in the past year. And I'm just like you. I don't understand how this is, legal.
How is this legal?
Yeah, I truly don't understand. It's amazing how, you know, power is just flaunted so much around the United States. And I'm like, I truly don't understand how. This is stuff that you do for employees, but we have already known, and it's already been stated, these people are not employees, they're independent contractors, but yet you still control these people. And some people are out there, and you may be falling in line with the, well, these people still got a job, stuff like that. Look, I get it. Okay, and I understand it's a pandemic, and when somebody doesn't have something, and somebody else does have something, they want to make sure they throw it like be humble that you got this. I understand that, but you know, you also got to say something also too. This pandemic, if you have given any of these performers, these wrestlers, a choice that if they want to work this pandemic or they would rather be safe at home with their families, I will guarantee you 90% would have chose the latter. Because they, even though they said that, hey, you're not going to lose your spot or nothing's going to happen to you if you want to stay home. Yeah, if your name is Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. But if your name is Apollo Crews, if your name is, if your name is Drew Gulak, you can't do that. You know, you got to be at work. Vince McMahon didn't even hold up during the pandemic. And once again, WWE just 2 months ago got safe COVID treatment at their performance center.
Right.
They haven't been getting that all year. People that's been coming in there and they were taking people's temperatures and calling it a day. They didn't have a testing, and they have nothing until that outbreak came and hit them late in the summertime. And all them superstars were missing. And then they try to write it off and say, you know, injury or whatever the case may be. No, they had the COVID. And now, down in NXT, they have another breakout of the COVID that happened, which is another reason why I think NXT's not part of Survivor Series this year, but I'll get to that later. And it's, you know, people are sitting here, like, Paige is upset. Paige came out, and she says, I can't with this company anymore. And I understand where she's coming from, because she talks about, and she gives it all for this company, but, and yes, she's still Paige, and she still has some media stuff to do, but she says, throughout the most part, I'm sitting in my house going crazy. Because she had a career neck injury, which, by the way, she doesn't blame Sasha Banks for. She blames it for the fact that how often that these wrestlers have to work and they don't have no time to recover the body. You know?
Right.
Her having a job and making a little bit more money than you probably are at McDonald's does not necessarily give you the reason to just throw it and tell her she needs to be humble. Because she says, the one thing that she loves to do, the one thing that she's supposed to get paid for, is to be a wrestler. Now she can't be a wrestler, so she tries to do things to get her mind off her not wrestling, and that's what her Twitch account was for. So she said it wasn't about just making money. I mean, she's still paid. She's under contract. She's still going to make some money. It wasn't about making money. It's about starting a family. And that's how it is, because you know that out there, because you have yourself a podcast. You have yourself music. You have yourself a platform, just like I have myself a platform over here. And sometimes it's for the love of doing it. It's for the passion of doing it. And when you are trying to come in there and manipulate somebody's, you know, stuff like that, that's almost an invasion of privacy. And AJ Styles had his son on there on his Twitch account. That's his Twitch account, and then it was a way to, like, I'm gonna talk about games, I'm gonna talk about this, I'm talking about that. Look, everybody knows the shit that 2020 is, and knows what the fuck is going on in this world. And I'm like, it's like every day, no matter what, if I go on YouTube, if I go on Google, if I go on Twitter, no matter where I go, it's something about the bullshit that's going on in this world. And sometimes everybody needs an escape. Everybody needs an escape. So can you imagine, like, if you would deliver food, right? And you're under contract with them, and your job was to deliver food, but then, yet, say if, you know, say there's no food to be delivered, stuff like that, but they're telling you, you're under contract, you can't go work nowhere else, and then, so you're like, alright, well, since I can't work at the moment, because there's no deliveries to be made, I want to do my music. Well, then, they try to take control of your music, because they look at that as a third-party way of making money, but yet, the job you're paying me for, I'm unable to do. So how is that fair?
I'll be damned. That is right. This isn't even connected to y'all. Like,
it, which I don't understand. So they have slowly been taking down. There has been reports that certain wrestlers have gone to Vince McMahon and tried to, you know, sway his mind, I guess, but he ain't budge. And, you know, a lot of the Twitch stuff came down. I don't know what's going to happen, like, with Up, Up, Down, Down. I don't know what happens to that. You know, I don't know if they told us. See, the problem with the different things with the New Day and Xavier is New Day is one of their top acts. And Vince, whether people want to admit it or not, has a favoritism problem. If you making him money and you're at the top of the chain, you have more liberties than, say, somebody at the bottom. Mia Yim got no chance of getting her channel back. None. Bianca Belair, who was just starting, because I watched her YouTube stuff, she got no chance of getting her channel back. If Roman had a Twitch, Roman could get his Twitch back somehow. But
it would have never touched it.
It wouldn't even touch it. But there's some people out there that with their Twitch account, and Paige is one of them, and I can understand her pain. But the question is, I'm like, what do you do? Because JR has made the remark before that you can't even get wrestlers to agree on what to have for lunch, let alone try to boycott something. So once again, I don't want to call people selfish, but once again, like, Roman is not in Paige's shoes, you know. And I'm not saying that Roman is not, you know, doesn't have a moral code, you know, but when things like this happen, just like when things like this in America happen, you know, the small people, they can make the noise, but it gotta be the people in power that gotta have a moral code that could be like, look, this is not right. We gotta join this fight so it can be it be good and equal for all of us. Not just, you know, because these are your, you know what I'm saying, your friends, your co-workers, people that you gotta work in the ring with. And like I said, now AJ Styles is a top act, but for them shutting down AJ Styles stuff, I'm just like, wow, this thing is getting pretty serious.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I was
But the thing is, though, even though he's a top act, we have been hearing about AJ having trouble with the company. So.
Yeah.
Ever since the Good Brothers got fired.
Oh, yeah. See, again, the whole rivalry with him and Paul Heyman, yeah, that right there.
That too.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff, you know, doesn't work, but just them, you know, being able to do that, because Vince McMahon's the kind of guy that in his universe he has to have control, you know,
right.
And that's what a lot of these rich people out here do. They got to have power.
It's like he gets mad when superstars find a way to make money without him.
Yeah,
his input. Rusev Day, man, we never forget, man.
Rusev Day,
and it was over the fucking moon.
Rusev Day was over. Before Rusev Day, even though I don't mention this guy often, unless Quattro's here, Zack Ryder got over on his own with his YouTube channel. He was the first one, and they took it. They messed up his YouTube channel, and they didn't do nothing with the Zack Ryder push at all, and the Rusev Day stuff, even the Bad News Bears stuff, anytime somebody was like, well, fine, I'm going to get me a character and try to get it over, and if they don't want it to get over, that's why you think AEW exists, because of something like that.
Yep.
The reason why AEW exists is because they didn't want it to, Cody was like, look, I don't want to be Stardust. And they said, well, you got to be Stardust. And he said, well, fine. If I'm going to be Stardust, let me do this storyline. They said no. Which, by the way, they're giving the storyline that he wanted to do with him and his wife to The Fiend and Alexa Bliss.
Ridiculous.
So, really? So now he's like, all right, I'm going to go run the indies and come up years later, start my own company. Now look where Cody's at. Now look where Cody's at, and you could have just had that talent, but you ain't. But just said you did not want that talent. And now, if these superstars, like, everybody ain't got to be miserable, or everybody ain't got to be working like you do. Once again, everybody's family don't travel like Vince's family travels.
Right.
Vince got his brother-in-law, Vince got his son, Vince got his daughter, and sometimes his wife. They travel together. The only other family that's traveling like that is the Mysterios. So,
oh boy, that storyline's ass, by the way.
It really is. But they're the only ones.
It's like I said, like, Vince doesn't like when people make money without his input. I mean, without, like, he wants to have credit. He wants the credit. That's what it is. If they make money without him, he's jealous.
It's a short way of putting it. Yeah. It's a power trip thing. It's an all power trip thing because there is no house shows. They have been in Florida since March, okay? And this pandemic, you know, saying was trying to turn the curve. Certain people don't want to pay attention to it, and now we're in the second wave, especially as the winter months is hitting, and we the only country that can't get the shit under control. Now, they don't have. They don't have no live events. There's not that much pay-per-view buys because everything one's on network, and two, like I said, it took a while for people to come around and say, I'm not watching an empty arena show. You know what I'm saying? It took a while for that. I mean, it took them to look at the NBA's bubble to figure out, oh snap, we could put fans in here and pipe in some 2K noise. You are one of the biggest companies there are. You could have been did that. Wrestling was before basketball came back, before football came back, or started, before baseball came back, before even UFC is trying to come back, before all that shit even happened. They were the ones that kept on going. They could have figured this shit out. But they didn't. They stole the idea. And then now that's the idea of what it is. But like, so what do you expect these superstars to do? They trying to keep one from being sane, because even though it's like, okay, well, we're down here in Florida, like, okay, we got to record. But here's the thing. Everybody don't live in Florida. Some people got to go fly back to, you know, Texas, California, yeah. New York, Atlanta, Philly, Canada. They got to fly back, do all the security and stuff, make sure they don't get sick by living their everyday lives, then come back to keep getting tested, and then make sure, you know, that at their neck, like, that is taxing in itself, especially, and then they was recording like two shows or three shows a day, so they got like 2 weeks off. Now they got to do shit every week.
Right.
They got to record Raw, fly up, then fly back. You know what I'm saying? A week. They got to keep doing that. Now Vince talking about something. They want y'all go on the road. Road where?
Where they going?
Because I don't know what other... Because I'm telling y'all, whether y'all like to hear this or not, it's probably... Stuff probably going to start closing back down again. That's just the harsh truth about it. So, once again, when there's no money to be made, these superstars got to find a way to, one, keep themselves sane, and two, to make some money. So I don't even know personally how, like, Paige said that she's talking to a lawyer, and I don't know if that's going to go anywhere, because WWE has had a decent defense team for decades now. So to even crack,
I hope so, man.
I mean, I hope so too, to crack that foundation, because this ain't the first loss of their defense team is crazy good. It's almost like OJ's defense team, like, really, like, you gotta have money to have these kind of people, because, you know, they beat the steroid, they beat the CTE kid, and they beat all that stuff, at least to my knowledge. And then, so you gotta really come correct with it. But it breaks my heart, because I'm just like, I'll be honest with you, Paige, if we ain't got the backing from the top guys in the business to be like, hey, this ain't right, then it's not gonna get much.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing she could probably leave was like she tried to force stuff out of her contract and try to go over to AEW. But then once again, you know, AEW's in a bind, like, because would you want to just hire Paige just so she can use Twitch? That don't make sense. I was like, because Paige right now can't do anything for them because she can't wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really hard. It's very unfortunate. So, I want to see some kind of change, but, you know what I'm saying, it's just, I don't know how it's going to come. Speaking of unfortunate, I know you're not probably familiar with the wrestler Kaylee Ray, but she,
I know the name.
Yeah, she recently retired from professional wrestling because I think it was due to mental health. She was supposed to go against Diana Perrazzo for the Impact Women's Championship at Bound for Glory, and it was saying that she was a no-show. Usually when wrestlers are a no-show, that's nothing but that's bad news. Like, that happened to Brian Pillman, and we found out he was dead. That happened to Eddie Guerrero, we found out he was dead. Happened to Crispin, and we found out he was killing people, then died. So, you know, when you hear people don't, that have an event and don't show, that happened with Vader, and he passed away, and that broke my heart, because I was looking for Vader. That happened with China also. And I'm like, anytime you hear somebody doesn't show, they want to check quickly to see what's happened. But they did find out that, you know, fans were concerned, and her friends were concerned. And she told everybody that she was doing fine, but that she is no longer taking bookings. She's truly sorry for the pain I have caused, the miscommunication. She's currently unwell, she says. And she has no longer a professional wrestler and moving away from social media. That's that killer right there. And this is
That's what she said, right?
Yeah, I'm actually about to read you the quote that she says. This is verbatim. All right. On her Twitter or Instagram. I'm truly sorry for the pain I've caused and miscommunication. I'm currently unwell. I'm also sorry that I wasn't able to get this out before your monthly subscription changed. I wanted to take this time to say I'm no longer a professional wrestler, and I'm currently taking a break from social media. It's been very hard. It's been a very hard decision to make, but please understand. When I am well, I will try to fulfill any obligation that I have missed. During this time, most tiers will not be able to be fulfilled. Please feel free to unsubscribe from this membership, Patreon account. That's what it was she put. Thank you for your understanding. So she put that down there and on her Patreon. And she, you know, it breaks my heart when this happens to people because, like I said, I'm not a professional wrestler. But the life of a professional wrestler is taxing. And I can only imagine, because look, AEW don't get no slack from this neither. But to perform this, the wrestling and same thing with Impact, like sports wants to still go on because America wants their sports. But the thing is, look, I go to work, you know, every day. My wife goes to work every day, but the difference is I work from home. You go to work every day and you're going out there with them people. So is your fiance. Oh, yeah. And after a while, you know, it's just like, okay, if I stay in my little bubble, then, you know, say I can be okay. But, you know, saying you be worried because things be knocking. It feels like the walls are closing around you. And then you have judgmental people who have not walked a day in your shoes trying to tell you how to live your life during this pandemic. I'm not saying that's what the case is happening, but usually when somebody mentions social media, this is the unfortunate stuff that comes with it.
Unfortunately. Now, here's my thing. I'm trying not to go into that direction.
Uh-huh.
I feel but, the way 2020 is, man, do you think maybe she retired to avoid... Because she... Like, I read where she was saying... Where she was saying, like, I needed to get my mind, body, and soul right with God. Usually when somebody throws God in there, they feel convicted of something.
Oh, I see what you're trying to say.
I'm not trying to put on the tinfoil hat, but like, what if she was just like trying to jump in front of something? Like, all right, something's about to go left. I need to go now.
I mean, look, there are possibilities because, like I said, we don't know. I do understand what you're saying, because I'm gonna talk about that actually by somebody else, but I do understand what you're saying. Me personally, I'm a kind of guy that tries to give the benefit of the doubt, because I'm like I said, I understand not putting a tinfoil hat on. I try to get the benefit of the doubt, to saying that, you know, that this woman, you know, is in pain. Like I said, she's a decent wrestler. You know, it's not like she has a long history. I mean, well, she in the indies, of course, yeah. But you know, I knew her from her little stint from AEW. I think she was in the Mae Young Classic for a little bit, and of course in Impact. But so I do think that she, you know, sometimes even with the way 2020 is going, I do also believe that sometimes you have to get your mind right with God, if that's the direction you want to go in, period, because you don't know what kind of abuse it is. Like, NXT just had another COVID outbreak, and Bronson Reed, I don't know if you're familiar with Bronson Reed, but Thick Boy.
I know the name.
He came a comment and said, one thing I have learned in 2020 from this COVID is that you deal with some truly selfish, I don't know if he said MFers or if he said, you know,
that would have been a word to use.
Yeah. And I think because he probably went out, or he probably had a party, and somebody probably had the COVID, and then they didn't tell anybody and they just spread it. And right now, you're living in a world, especially when you're a wrestler, you're living in a demanding world where this is the shit you got to deal with every day. People, everybody, whether we want to think so or not, everybody don't agree with of the right way. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Everybody does not agree with the right way. Some people still think this virus is a hoax. Some people still think it's not that bad, but once again, it's not about you. It's about everybody else. And I think when Bronson Reed said that, it brought things to light. Like, you know, she could very well be like, look, because remember, she works for Impact. Impact ain't got no fans. They got no Thunderdome. They ain't got no budget like that. First of all, I don't even know how people are getting paid over in Impact, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's then you got to wrestle with these people. I don't even know if Impact Wrestling has the same COVID procedures that AEW and WWE have, because those two come from money. And like I said, I don't know what the money looks like in Impact right now. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if they use all their money to try to buy superstars like the Good Brothers, but I'm like, it's like when you look at the production of their show, it's like, okay, yes, obviously they got some money to hold a company, but the question is, they don't got the WWE or AEW money. So working there could be a little bit harder, and some people's minds could just be, you know, just breaking, because like social media, not only just, you know, her being attacked, it could be, you know, things that she could be believing that people make fun of or don't agree with her with, or just about what's going out in the world. Every day you're turning on something, it's a constant battle between, you know, of good and evil, it seems like, you know. And then it could wear on you, and when you got to go into an environment where it just like you experience it, it's hard to go into an environment where everybody don't think like you do. And what I mean by that, it's like, if you have an opinion of just being a good moral person, everybody don't think like you do,
right?
and you gotta deal with that shit, man. And that's, you know, that's one of the hard things about working. It ain't like everybody's coming in and be like, hey man, you know what I'm saying, we all gotta mask up and we gotta vote and we gotta do all this. Like, everybody ain't thinking that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's just not on that train with you, especially in the wrestling business. You know, especially at the wrestling business at all. So that could be where a toe on her. So, like, the jury's still out or what it could be. Whatever it is, I hope she, you know, it gets healthy enough to face it. Like, I don't want her to, because, like I said, when people hear that she ain't show up for Bound for Glory, they're thinking, like, we've had too many suicides. You know, especially in 2020 alone, and you don't want that to happen to somebody.
Exactly.
So you want to hope for her best recovery. So whatever, if she's look, us being Christians, if she's trying to find God, that's for her and God to determine, to figure out.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, if for her, you know, for her to heal on. So that's definitely, I just know that I'll give her, you know, so right now the benefit of that, I don't know anything, but when it comes to somebody having to retire from something that they love and have them to step back and leave, you know what I'm saying, it's very unfortunate that happened. So I just want to make sure I you know, talk about it in good taste. But something I can rant about real quick is because Miro, my man Rusev, we just talked about Rusev Day, came out and he made a comment which I personally, at first, did not like. You know? He made the comment of saying that you're not a true fan if you complain. Fans are somebody who just deal with what they're given. And I said, wait. When does that work ever?
Seriously.
Because I don't understand. This only happens for, and I hate to say it like this, from WWE guys. And I don't know what they told to say up there, but that is an asinine statement, to say at least. Just real quick, because he says He doesn't care because everybody, some people that don't like his best man gimmick in AEW. He says, if I could have found a pink Mickey Mouse shirt, I would have probably wore that. That's why I'm not happy. If I could have found the pink Mickey Mouse shirt, I would have gone out there with that, because I don't care what you think about my clothing. I don't care what you think about my gimmick. I don't care about any of these things, because quite honestly, I don't care. I'm the best man. First of all, if you say I don't care that many times, you care. And he said, he believes fans are critical even if he was pushed as main event. He said, if I came to AEW and became champion on day one, there were going to be 90 other million people who were going to be like, oh, well, look at this. He's just another former WWE guy just coming in and taking the title. And look, we have Hangman Page and the Bucks and everybody else here just waiting for the opportunity. So you have that. So if you're going
in that arena, he's right. It is a damn. That would have been a damn if you're in, damn if you're out type of situational move.
He's either
going to be, oh, the former industry guy taking jobs from the little guy, or the bitter guy who got fired because he couldn't handle a job with the industry dude. And that, he's right. He's right on that part.
Yeah, I also agree with what he said about fans are not patient with just wanting a quick payoff. He says, I think what we have done, and it's not just the fault of wrestling, but just a society. We want the quick turnaround right away. Right then and there. We don't like waiting for episodes to come week to week. We don't want to wait 30 minutes. We don't even want to wait for ads. We don't want to wait 30 seconds for ads, because we just want the final product right then and there. I actually agree with him on that, of how sped up everything is today. That's why a lot of wrestling storylines don't get time for the slow burn, because nobody doesn't want the slow burn. However, it's just the part about the fan, like, because Goldust said this, you know, a while ago, and even Xavier Woods hinted at it when he said something about it a couple years ago, and it's like people are criticizing the product, and once again, they call people like not fans, that they're critics. Now, I've been a fan of wrestling since 1992, and like I said, I've watched good wrestling and terrible wrestling, okay wrestling, good wrestling, average wrestling. I've watched all kinds of wrestling. If you're a fan of something, if you're a fan of something and you love it that much, then that's where you're, that's what you being critical comes in at. It's a natural human. If you're a fan of a football team, basketball team, or any kind of sports team, and they lose, you're going to be critical of that loss because that is one of your favorite teams. You're going to tell, well, this coach needs to be fired, or we need to get this player on our team, because you're critical of the team because you love the team that much. That's when it comes to sport. Same thing when it comes to video games. If you love that game and the game just doesn't do something right and it plays shitty, like, for instance, for what he's saying is, all the fans should have just been happy with 2K20. No, we shouldn't. No, we should not have been happy with a game like that, because the game came out, it was incomplete, and it was trash. And if I'm going to be paying my money to, you know, to support this game because I'm a fan of this product, then I would expect to have a game that's, you know, delivered to me the right way, not a piece of shit. And I'm like, so where do you even come off saying something like that? Because some people are going to be criticize you. Like, I know, well, I don't know, but it must be tough getting all kinds of criticisms all the time in your social medias, your DMs, whatever the case may be, about your character, or why don't you stand up for yourself, but people don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It got to be rough. But to call these people not fans, and they're just critics, and fans just accept. You know who accepts stuff? Kids do. Because they don't know no better. But the kids are not paying for WWE Network. Kids are not paying to come see WWE. Kids are not paying for the merchandise on WWE Shop. Kids are not signing up on the internet. Well, some kids might, but I was about to say, you know, going into the Thunderdome. You know why? Because those kids have parents, and if the parents support the kids or respect what the kid likes, they invest in that. And I'm sorry, the last couple times that me and you went to wrestling shows, I've had my kids there, but I'm just saying, but I've seen a lot of adults there, because they're still a fan of the product. They're still a fan of professional wrestling. They're still a fan of how the storyline stuff that goes. If it was all about the kids, WWE would not be nowhere near where it's at today. Nowhere near. So if something is terrible, or it's like, look, we can have a better storyline, then yeah, the fans are going to say something about that. But you can't call us not fans because we don't agree with everything that you do. Now, like I said, the IWC, as they call them, the Internet Wrestling Community, you know, it can be kind of harsh. And you got people in there that just judge everything. They just get mad at literally every fucking, like, nothing makes them happy. But as a fan, I'm like this, look, 2020 sucked, right? And then it's like, okay, we had a situation that of having somebody, you know, without having fans. But if somebody says, hey, can you make a top 10 list of the good things for 2020 in wrestling? I can, because Drew McIntyre was a great thing in 2020. The Hurt Business was a great thing in 2020. The Tribal Chief is an excellent thing.
Because if that Paul Heyman reveal was in a crowd that the stadium would have erupted.
Would erupted. Cinematic matches for the majority of the part were positive this year. You know, I enjoy NXT taking the old WCW Halloween Havoc, Great American Bash, War Games, and all that stuff like that. They brought that back this year. I can find things. The Royal Rumble was excellent this year. It's before the fans left. So you can find things that was good in it. And so, but I understand the marks that be out there criticizing literally every single thing that they do. But I'm like, no, as a fan, this is the stuff that I enjoy. This is stuff I really do enjoy. Stuff, but you know, there's going to be things I didn't enjoy, such as Retribution. I ain't like the group. I ain't like the group when it started, and I wanted them to get rid of it now. The way that they booking Keith Lee on Raw, don't like it.
Oh my goodness!
You know what I'm saying? I just don't. I wasn't, you know, a fan of that. I can't say I didn't like WrestleMania because I thought the Boneyard match was great. You know what I'm saying? I thought a lot of things. I know a lot of things for WrestleMania is good, but there's certain things. You know what I'm saying? If you sit down and go down the list, it's like there's stuff that I don't like. King Corbin. I don't even know why he's still king. Like get rid of that gimmick.
Why? Yeah. Why are we still doing it?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. I don't like Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series, which I'm about to get into in a minute, because that bothers me, and I'll tell you why. But yeah, I just want to get that mirror thing out the way. But since I mentioned it, Survivor Series is going back to Raw versus SmackDown this year, and I'm pissed off. Before I get into, are you into? Now I had fun over at your house last year because we was watching Survivor Series. We had your brother and stuff, had your sister over there.
It was
dope. I had a fun time over there, had bets going on, everything like that. One day I hope we can do that again.
Right.
But I do not like Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series. How do you feel about them?
I mean, it's the only time they do it, so I'm here. I don't care. I'm not mad at it.
Okay, so this is the reason why I put this on the outline, because real quick, because as soon as they said Raw versus SmackDown, I was just like, and it's not because of the theme Raw versus SmackDown, but there's a couple of reasons why I don't like it. Number one, there's nothing on the line. What made Survivor Series cool was there were things on the line. Bragging rights. Nobody cares about bragging rights because half these people that you're going to see on Survivor Series is not going to be on the same show. They're going to be switching shows within 3 to 4 weeks or 3 to 4 months. Then they never stay committed with the draft since they brought it back, to say the least.
Right.
Number, you know, and another thing is like, when I think back to Survivor Series, like, The 5-man elimination matchups, they do that on regular TV now. That used to be a special thing for the pay per view. That's having those kind of tag team matches is kind of like having a Money in the Bank match on Raw. You don't, and then you do it multiple times a week. Like, you don't do that, and that's the part. Like, when they do 8-man or 10-man tag team matches, you're doing a Survivor Series match on free TV. That's not how it used to be. It kind of kills the match by the time the event gets around. So it's like, so how do we make it special? If you want to do Raw versus SmackDown, that's fine. But here's the thing. Since you don't watch baseball, correct?
No.
Okay, so when baseball has their All-Star game, the winners of the All-Star game get home field advantage during the World Series.
Ooh.
So if the AL wins, the AL gets home field advantage no matter what their record is. If they make it to the World Series, they get home field advantage. If the NL wins, the NL gets home field advantage during the World Series if they win the All-Star game. It's something to win for. Survivor Series has nothing to win for. So a lot of people was like, why do they even have the draft in October? Right, you're asking people to talk about something. We're going to fight for brand supremacy when you got these people that's only been on the roster for what, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose I'll be repping Raw, where some people had an idea. I listened to Solid Monster said, why don't you have it after Survivor? What you should do is have it before the draft. That way, you have built up a year with these Raw SmackDown guys to fight for their company, and then if Raw wins Survivor Series, they get the more draft picks coming up. Or if SmackDown wins, they get the more draft picks. So that way, it's like, oh wait, every time we see the draft, it's 3 go to Raw, 2 go to SmackDown. Well, what if 3 go to SmackDown, 2 go to Raw? To switch it up and say, because SmackDown won a Survivor Series. Or, since they wait so late to do it, why not, like I said, if SmackDown wins, they get the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if Raw wins, they get the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble. Like, you have to go for something. Because they cannot survive off the brand name by itself. Because, to be honest with you, I'm just like you. I was digging the Tribal Chief Jey Uso storyline. And I'm like, well, you can definitely have them do something at Survivor Series, or even have the Tribal Chief go up against the next person in line. And then you can do the Fiend and Orton or McIntyre, whatever the case may be. And the Survivor Series matchup you do is Retribution taking on the Hurt Business, so Hurt Business can finally get rid of him. That's how you book a story. When Raw vs. SmackDown first happened, it was 2005 Survivor Series. And they was just like, well, why don't we get... And this is... The draft has been going on for 2 years, uninterrupted. They said, well, why don't we get the best of Raw and the best of SmackDown to go at it? And that was a damn good match. And that was the return of The Undertaker and all that kind of stuff. So, and SmackDown won. Now, they only did a concert one time in 2005. Then, you know, as the bragging rights pay-per-view never worked. And then, like I said, I used to be a fan of Survivor Series, but then now, with the Raw SmackDown, so they kept doing it every fucking year. And I wouldn't mind it if it just meant something. What's the point of doing the whole let Raw invade the SmackDown show, and the SmackDown invades the Raw show, and then they teaming up and being friends with each other to win what? Bragging rights that nobody cares about?
Yeah, honestly.
That right there bothers me. And I was hoping that they would just say, like, it would just give us something. Give us something to, like, want to fight for, to get us invested in. Because right now, at this day and age, Raw versus SmackDown doesn't even sell itself anymore. Because, once again, you're asking for Raw versus SmackDown when the guys that are on Team Raw or the guys that are on Team SmackDown have barely been on each show. Like, you're trying to ask the New Day to go up against the Street Profits. Would I love to see that matchup? Sure. But Street Profits been on Raw for almost a year.
Right.
Or a year and a half. And the New Day been on SmackDown for about 3 years. And now they're supposed to switch. They're supposed to be like, well, I rep blue and you rep... That makes no sense. Like, it loses the luster to me like that. Like it's just like... If I'm Bad Boy, and then next thing you know, there's Death Row over there, and then I switch companies, like, in a week, and I'm supposed to ride for Death Row on the max. It don't feel right to me. I've been with Bad Boy for years. That's my family over there. So it's like, is Biggie supposed to just turn on Kofi and Woods because he's on the blue? You know, it's just never booked right to me anymore. And I hate that Survivor Series has fallen so much down, you know, down the wayside of what it used to be. You know, I just that had to get out. Along with, you see, Vince got another name change going, right?
You know what? I'm not mad at this one, though.
Really?
I don't like this guy, man.
Okay. I know that you didn't like the guy now, but well, Matt Riddle, got his name dropped to just Riddle, and the jokes have been coming. Everybody's saying this man
is a damn mystery.
Yeah, like they're gonna say this man gonna be this add to R, then gonna be the Riddler, and then you know Vince man gonna capitalize on that. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Like Vince has dropped so many names before in the past. Some have worked, some didn't need to go, such as Antonio Cesaro, who's just now became Cesaro, Alexander Rusev. And he just became Rusev. We got used to those names. But then, here go the category for the better. Buddy Murphy. I don't mind Buddy Murphy. But then when they took off Mustafa and it said Ali, I'm like,
Ali.
No, put Mustafa Ali back on there. I'm getting used
Gable.
To...
Gable. They just gave him a whole new name.
They did. And I'm glad he got Chad Gable back because... The Gable and the Shorty thing wasn't working. Then you have
you heard talking about hashtag Team Olympian.
Oh, please. But right now, show's already in her business. I don't know where Jason Jordan is at. So, I can't get what I want. But they also they dropped Cien Almas, and he's just Andrade. I don't mind Andrade too much. I gotten used to it. But I'm just like, but I always had the name Andrade Cien Almas. I just love that, you know, full name. I'm just like, but Big E Langston went to just Big E. I have no problem with the Big E thing. But Matt Riddle to just Riddle bothers me a little bit. And I'm like, it just don't sound right. He sounds like a joke. But Matt Riddle came out and said, look, he's fine with it. He actually prefers it. And, you know, the straight corporate WWE shit he's supposed to say. Dave Meltzer made a report here. Don't know how true this is. But came out and said that the reason for the name change is because WWE does not want people looking up Matt Riddle and seeing all the, the sexual harassment.
Yeah, the
allegation he's accused for. That's according to Dave Meltzer. Don't know how much wine that holds, but, that's what he says it is. But I'm just like, but I don't understand. They tried to do something with China. I'm like, I don't understand, you know. So if you type in Riddle and that person still comes up, he's still going to have, if something's linked to him, he's still going to have something linked to him. So I don't get the logic in that one. I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to last that long. And people was wondering, well, Tony got the WWE contract, which he signed in 2018, so it will be up in 2021. But we don't know if he extended that because he's on the main roster now. But I don't. There's certain things that WWE does, and I'm like, I just don't like that you mess with stuff. And Keith Lee is one of the prime examples. I hate that they didn't take his name, but I hate what they did to Keith Lee. This man got a singlet on.
Yeah, they did everything else to him.
Like, they changed his music, which is fire. I don't like the new music. I like the old music. I like Keith Lee coming out in the trunks, and then just his wristband. He looked intimidating that way. They made him cut off his facial hair. He got that annoying-ass soul patch I hate. He got that annoying soul patch. And I don't know about you, but I know Keith Lee's a big dude. But for some reason, that black singlet he wears makes him look fatter than he did when he didn't have it on.
Yeah, because it's small.
Yeah, I'm like, it like, bro, like, you
got
a
big dude and a small singlet.
Exactly. I'm like, it don't fit to me. And I don't understand why you feel as though that is the better version of Keith Lee. Have take it all. And once again, Vince does this with all the guys that are big. Kevin Owens still wears his shirt. You know, when Killian Dane came up there, he put Killian Dane in a singlet, and I was like, this looks terrible. Like, he gave him a whole old school wrestling thing. I'm like, there's a reason why it worked in NXT. There's a reason why it worked in the Indies. He don't need all that. First of all, I don't know why Braun Strowman got this, all this camo on and this Under Armour shirt and these camo gloves. Now I'm like, what is all this about?
This military Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I don't understand what that was about. He was fine the way he was, and I'm like, but then he could have kept his shirt off. Roman with the shirt off is fine, but I'm just like, but you know, I don't understand why you're doing all these kind of changes, and especially when it comes to Matt Riddle. I'm like, don't turn him into no cheesy Riddler character, because that don't work in 2020. Those characters do not work in 2020. I'm sorry. Like even if the Hurricane came back, that's not going to work. I mean, Hurricane, people like the nostalgia, but that's not going to work today. And especially, that's why I named the Riddler or Riddle. It's not going to work. I had to bring it up because that to me was just trash. All right, guys, before we finish out the podcast, I'm going to give you guys the Wednesday Night War, where NXT did Halloween Havoc, and man, I'm going to tell you something, they killed it this past week.
Yeah, I seen my guy with the Rey Mysterio.
Escobar?
Yeah,
he had the Rey Mysterio 97 thing going.
Here's my thing. Has Shazzy Blackheart been winning matches?
Shazzy Blackheart...
I don't know why they promote her like she wanted them, like... Every time I see the result, she loses a match.
She lost the last two matches. Now, did they promote because she was the host of Halloween Havoc. She didn't fight. She didn't go against no championship like your boy Gargano. So she ain't doing it. She was just a hosting because her character, her mental character, like she housed at the moon. So it was something to give her a hosting job for Halloween Havoc, and I thought she did great in that role. She didn't have no match. They wasn't promoting her to a championship to go up against next in line and go up against Io. No, she lost, and she lost to Candice LeRae, and she lost in a tag team match. Candice LeRae. That's why Candice LeRae was the one that got pushed up, and she had the match.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, but they've been doing a lot of promoting with her because she's the host. She was the host of Halloween Havoc. So we have that, and then of course we have the main event between Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr., which was all great. So we're about to get into the Wednesday Night War. Right now we're going to Wednesday Night War because NXT had Halloween Havoc. They're bringing back Halloween Havoc, one of my favorite WCW pay-per-views. Like I said, I'm a huge WCW guy. Mark, I was raised on WCW, even though I know how trash WCW was and just so much stuff that was in there. But WCW had a lot of good things. And Triple H for NXT has been bringing back a lot of WCW things with Halloween Havoc, Great American Bash, War Games. That's all WCW stuff, for those who are too young to remember that. And AEW, we're going still for the championship tournament that's going on with an awesome main event and an awesome opener. So let's get right on to NXT Halloween Havoc. Shazzy Blackheart is the host for NXT Halloween Havoc, and we're starting off with the spin the wheel, make a deal, North American Championship of Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. And so Shazzy Blackheart spins the wheel, and we get a Devil's Playground matchup. So that's basically a hardcore Falls Count Anywhere kind of matchup. And we have a guitar solos that's there. Damian Priest is already in the ring, shoots to the crowd to have his old Damian Priest. They lights up. Then Johnny Gargano comes out and messes up my set, man. Because we get a Halloween Havoc set. We get the big jack-o'-lantern right in the middle. We got a graveyard by the ringside. Everything's just set up for Halloween Havoc set. And then what does Gargano do? He comes out with like a box cutter or something and just slices the pumpkin and inflates all the heel work by Gargano. So Well, people, a lot of people don't have seen mentioning this, that Damian Priest is sending an homage to Sting, because he has the Sting gloves on, you with the writing on from WCW. So I like that he has the Sting gloves on. And the match gets started. They both get some fighting in the ring. Damian Priest is taking very advantage of it in the beginning. Then we go to the outside, and then, you know, with the weapons, so getting involved and everything like that. So I thought both guys did good. There's a whip into the steel steps to try to slow Damian Priest down. Then Gargano grabs the kendo stick, and then Damian Priest grabs his nightstick. So there's like a little standoff between the. I thought he was gonna swing and like break the kendo stick with the nightstick as Gargano tried to block it. I thought that would probably been cool, but they just decided to go to a commercial break. And so they go into the fight, top of the ramp, and then they're going up into where the spin the wheel, make a deal thing is at. And then all of a sudden, Ghostface comes out. Yes, Ghostface from Scream comes out, and then he hits Damian Priest over the head with like a tombstone or something like that. And then Gargano kicks him off, and he falls to like this hornet, like this little shack that was set up right there. And then Gargano walks down, pins Damian Priest, and becomes the new North American champion. I was like, wow, was expecting that. So it looks like we're probably gonna have a Gargano couple night tonight. At least that's what I thought. So as we're back, we got Vic Joseph dressed up as Waldo and Wade Barrett dressed as Bad News Bear. I got some bad news. And then so we get back a commercial as we see Cameron Grimes asking where we go, like, what's going on with this Haunted House match? Tell me something, okay? But Pat McAfee, Orny Lorcan, and Danny Burch make themselves to the ring, and he talked about how we have the second best night in NXT history, the biggest being TakeOver 30, of course, when he debuted, and he was running down that Adcole disrespected him, so he calls man Ridge Holland. That didn't end up happening because Ridge got injured, unfortunately. So, but no. Before I have it, Kyle O'Reilly makes his way out. So Kyle O'Reilly is out there, and then Pat McAfee's taunting him in the ring. And then all of a sudden, Pete Dunne music hit, and Pete Dunne comes out, and that man is toned up. Pete Dunne looks good, like $1 million now. And he walks in with two chairs, gives one to Kyle O'Reilly, but then attacks Kyle O'Reilly behind him, and they all beat him up, so that they stand over Kyle O'Reilly's body. So it looks like this is the team that they're going to get together for War Games, obviously. So Pat McAfee, of course, Ridge Holland, and us in that spot, but Rich Hall got injured. He's injured more worse than they thought. So we got Pete Dunne and then Orion Lork and Danny Burch and Pat McAfee going up against Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era just rules the War Games. They end it every single year. So I figured that they might as well continue to be in there. Then we get Cameron Grimes and ask what we're going to, like, what is up with the match? Like, how do you win? What's the pitfall? He's like, no, just go outside. And we go outside, the van pulls up, and it's like Michael Hayes that comes out with the Freebird stuff. But I couldn't hear what he was saying because the motor was too loud, the music was playing too loud. And then he's going to drive Cameron Grimes to the location. So now we got Jake Atlas taking on Santos Escobar, who is rocking the old school 1997 Phantom Rey Mysterio stuff, which I like. You know, shout out to Rey Mysterio. If y'all have not seen Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero from Halloween Havoc 1997, do yourselves a favor and watch that matchup. Like I said, WWE had some good things in there. I know they had a lot of trash in there also, but they had some good gems in there. And from 97 to 98, because that Halloween Havoc, that had Goldberg's best match with Goldberg versus DDP, and then you had Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. So both matches I'd recommend you guys go and check out. This match didn't really hit it long, as Santos Escobar hits a Phantom Driver on Jake Atlas. Hopefully we move on from this feud, I guess you want to call it, as he wins the matchup. So Ember Moon is talking about has Dakota Kai in her sights, but that match is going to happen next week, so unfortunately that doesn't happen. And then Shotzi Blackheart tells us that the Haunted House of Terror match is next. So now we get the Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes, the cinematic matchup. They pull up to the house. I was hoping this was not going to be like a House of Horrors type thing, but it turned to be so much better. They go into this one story house, so one story house always made me scared anyway. So Cameron Grimes is looking around, but as he's going, you see Dexter Lumis like lurking in the trees and everything. He got that just weird look. He enters the house and he sees a referee in the corner, and he turns the referee around. The referee is possessed, and then Loomis comes out, and then just as like a straight horror movie, and then they start starts attacking him, but Cameron Grimes, you know, fights it off, and then he goes to like the bathroom to hide. He sees a lady in the shower, and he's like, "Come on, time to go shower, Cameron Grimes." But he opens the shower. It's a zombie. I don't know if it was a yoga instructor or whatever it was, but she was bending over. They had a lot of talented people playing the zombies. Like, they were going all out for that. Scared Cameron Grimes goes right back out, and then like bust through the wall. It's Dexter Loomis fight him some more, and it's more so Cameron Grimes trying to retreat. They go into the kitchen. Cameron Grimes tries to grab a weapon, but there's more ghostly woman that comes and jumps on his back, and then it was zombies and ghosts and stuff everywhere. I was eating all of this stuff up. So Cameron Grimes tries to run to the van to escape from the zombies, but Dexter Loomis is the driver of the van, and he gets out and literally starts running and just runs down this long road, and it says to be continued, and we're going to come back to see what's happening with Cameron Grimes. Rhea Ripley is going up against Raquel Gonzalez, and I have to say off the back right now, the best match I have seen Raquel Gonzalez in. This actually kind of sold me on her a little bit, because I was just like, she just like nothing but the big bodyguard for Dakota Kai, and wasn't too much of a worker. But after seeing this matchup, she is a pretty good worker here. Gonzalez is a superplex on Ripley, pinning her for two, but then Gonzalez goes for the one-arm powerbomb, but Rhea escapes and hits her in the back of the head, and she's stunned, and she gets the Riptide, and then Rhea Ripley wins the matchup. So we are back to Cameron Grimes. She's still running out of the road. He ran all the way back to the Performance Center. He ran all the way back, and then or the Capitol Wrestling Center, excuse me, the CWC. And then he gets, but before we get back there, Drake Maverick's dressed up as Hulk Hogan, and then all of a sudden he's being interviewed. And then we get some guy just like the Giant, and then the other just as the Yeti or the Yeti, and then they're doing the whole double bear hug thing, and he's in the middle just sounding like Hogan. And then Killian Dave comes as a Shockmaster, but he's like, "Wait, hold on, you didn't do the trip." So he puts the mask on and trips on his own. Classic WCW stuff from Halloween Havoc. You have to love it if you're a WCW fan like I was in the mark. It was this great scene. That was from Halloween Havoc 95, I believe, it from Hogan and the Giant. They had the old monster truck thing, which was stupid, but that whole double bear hug, that thing right there, just bringing back memories right there. Dexter, Cameron Grimes is in there, and he comes back into the ring, which like it's all smoky and eerie now. It doesn't look like it's the ring. That's the same one that we have with the fans there, obviously. And they change to the ring. Dexter Loomis appears behind him. How does he get back there? It's a horror movie. Who cares? Those across the ring a little bit. Cameron Grimes tries to fight him off or anything like that, but then he gets spine busted by Dexter Loomis. Another zombie comes and jumps all Dexter Loomis and gives him a cross body. And then Dexter Loomis gives him that little rock bomb choke combination, and then he makes Cameron Grimes pass out. He wins the matchup, and it comes off the end afterwards. Dexter Loomis wins the matchup. It was great. I enjoyed it. And now Shotzi Blackheart, dressed as the devil, is getting ready for who's going to spin the wheel at the commercial break for what the match is going to be for Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai. Tommaso Ciampa says he doesn't recognize NXT anymore, and it's because, you know, the attitude has changed, and then so he's going to take it out on Velveteen Dream next week. Main event time for the NXT Women's Championship, Candice LeRae taking on Io Shirai. They spin the wheel, and it's a tables, ladders, and scares match. Oh, TLC is here. Let's raise up the belt. They raise up the belt, and then with the match gets going, Candice pulls out a table, and there's a bag underneath there, and she pulls out, it's like empty body parts, like fake body parts, stuff like that. Io Shirai starts hitting her with them. But then, you know, they set up a ladder bridge on one side of the ring, so you know what's going to happen there. As the dash set up, and then Io's on the announce table, Candice hits Io with this laptop, and I'm like, yo, she like hit her with that laptop. That thing just came out of nowhere. I was like, whoa, that was something cool right there. Io gets the chair, starts tossing him into the ring, gives Candice LeRae a suplex on the outside, goes back in there, has a chair that's unfolded, gives Candice a suplex onto that chair. Candice LeRae, man, I give props to her all the time because she will go out there and risk it all and got no problems of her being a woman or not. She will go out there and risk it all. Candice sets up a ladder up in the corner, and then a stretch kind of ladder, but then, you know, Io takes her down. There's a spot that she says she pulls out two tables that have like a chalk outline on these tables that's on the side of the ring. And then Candice has Io on the apron, but this is before that. Io has a chair. Candice has a kicker while she's on the apron, has a chair. It gives like a dragon screw. It hurts her leg with that. Never seen that before. I thought that was very creative. Candice and Io both on the apron. They go for the swinging neck breaker onto the tables. And then all of a sudden, Ghostface is back out. And we're like, who is he or she? And they accompany Candice up the ladder. Like, put her on the shoulders and climb up the ladder. So all Candice got to do is just grab the belt. But then Io Shirai is there. Not Io Shirai, goodness. Shotzi Blackheart is there. It gives Ghostface electric chair drop on the pile of chairs that Io Shirai has in there. Which, by the way, she tried to do a moonsault and missed the moonsault back early in the match. I forgot about that spot. Then Io Shirai comes in as Candice about to reach for the championship and push the ladder over. And Candice goes hip first into the ladder bridge on the outside. Io Shirai wins it. I really thought it was going to be a couple's win here, but you know what? That was a great matchup, and that was NXT take. That was NXT. Not take, it was just NXT Halloween Havoc. So I really enjoyed that. And now we gotta go over to AEW Dynamite. So for Dynamite, we have Dasha interviewing Wardlow before the match starts, and then MJF let's say everybody know that. Let's get something straight. If Wardlow wins his tournament and beats the champion, I become the AEW champion because Wardlow's under contract with me, which means he's my property and that's your property. Is that right, Wardlow? And then Wardlow's like, yeah, you got it. Kind of regrettingly. So we know that the break is coming up. But then Sammy Guevara comes up to MJF and says, what a nice way to talk to people. Max, I'm not your buddy, I'm not your friend, and tonight I'm going to make sure you never join the inner circle. And I'm just like, so Sammy Guevara is clearly not part of MJF being part of, or even thinking about, joining the inner circle. And then we're there for the first matchup. We have Wardlow taking on Hangman. So, they mentioned that Wardlow's on a 9-game match win streak here. So, this matchup is really good here. Wardlow actually shows off a lot of his athleticism in this thing, and Wardlow really can break away from MJF and really be a dominant player in this thing. He sets up Adam Page for the F10. Page he rolls after he hits him. Page rolls to the outside to get the distance out the way, and then Wardlow tries to go and carry Page, but Page hits the elbow shots, and Page walks across the ring with a fallaway slam. And but then Adam Page has two, not one, but two buckshot lariats to Wardlow and wins the matchup. So if he wins, you already know who's going to win the other side, so we can have that matchup, which I think is going to be an awesome matchup. Eddie Kingston is going to take on Matt Sydal. Obviously, Kingston comes out and talks about how he never lost the Battle Royal. You see Lance Archer on the outside, and you know, he just cuts a good promo. Then he goes up against goes Matt Sydal, and then he applies a sleeper hold to him, and then he said it's a tap in. He wants Matt Sydal to say I quit, so he makes him say I quit. So we have Excalibur had a sit-down interview with the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, and FTR. I missed this segment, but I heard some people said it was good. Some people said it wasn't too good. So I don't want to, you know, I didn't get a chance to see the segment. But it was time for the Inner Circle Town Hall meeting. Obviously, this is a play that's been going on. It's a play of what's going on, obviously, in the world that, you know, they had the president had a town hall meeting along with Joe Biden and all stuff like that. So, it was weird seeing people ask, like, MJF what it's going to be, like, you know, how's he going to be on the Inner Circle, stuff like that. So, MJF said, you know, that there are financial benefits for joining the Inner Circle. Show off the charts. He had his little chart out there displayed. The Inner Circle's earnings would spike if he had joined the group. And then he said MJF to try to turn on the Inner Circle, then knock MJF's teeth down the throat. And he said, come on, guys, I'll never turn on you, which is such a heel thing to say. And then Eric Bischoff returns. So Eric Bischoff makes his way back, and he prompts the famous John F. Kennedy question. He says, "Not what John Kennedy says, ask not what you can do, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." So he says, "So what can you do for Inner Circle?" AJ says one word: friendship. Got a boo out of that. And then you know, AJ was like, he said, "I firmly believe once I join these great men in Inner Circle, I can learn how to be a team player." And Chris Jericho says, "Chris Jericho is a prima donna, and you possess many of the same traits." He said, "But what is one of the things that if you join a circle that you guys won't be, you will kill each other, basically?" And then he wasn't really answering, and Jericho wanted him to answer Bischoff. And then he says, "Well, after all I gave you, what haven't I done, Christopher?" And then Chris Jericho said, "You haven't beat me," which knew was going to lead to a matchup. So he said, "I'm going to give you a chance at Full Gear on November 7th. If MJF beats Chris Jericho, he will allow him to join the Inner Circle. That necessarily means he's going to join, but he will allow him to join the Inner Circle." So Ortiz is like, no, man, look. He said, him, and he's like, "I can't speak for anybody else, but, you know, we don't want you part of this group in the first place." So, you know, it's going to be a riff in there between MJF and the Inner Circle. I'm curious to see how it's going to be. So, we get the first ever Lumberjack match for the TNT Championship. Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy taking on Cody. And then out there we have, you know, of course, the Nightmare Family. And with Arn Anderson, we had the Best Friends out there. So, everybody's being Lumberjacks. So, you know, the first time they go out in the ring, they toss them back in. Then there's like a brawl that pops up. And then Cody does the famous suplex of Orange Cassidy from the top rope to the outside, all brawling guys on the outside. And the time limit is coming down. Like, we still got a time limit matchup on this thing. We don't want to go to time limit draw like last time. John Silver starts making his way down to the ring for the Dark Order. And then when the referee was distracted, John Silver took off Cassidy's head with a pump kick from the outside. Arn Anderson ducked Orange Cassidy, and Cody was oblivious to all this stuff like that. And then he connected with the Crossroads, and Orange Cassidy and Cody won. This is the little slow plan that they do of the heel turn that's going to be coming. Darby Allin was scouted next for Cody, and it's going to be Cody to go Darby Allin for the TNT Championship at Full Gear. So, I missed. There's a backstage of Kip Sabian, the Best Man, Miro, taking out Trent and Chuck Taylor, you know, the Best Friends. I would love to see that. The newly crowned NWA Women's Champion, Serena Deeb, versus Layla Hirsch. Which this is a matchup where I'm glad Serena Deeb got the NWA Championship. I don't know, Thunder Rosa still is going to be with NWA, obviously, but you know, I like Serena Deeb a lot. Hirsch went up for a Hirsch went up for, I didn't say pronounce it, went up for a moonsault, but Serena Deeb rolled out the way. Serena starts punishing her neck, and then hits her with neck breakers. Deeb catches her with an arm and got the submission hold on her and made her tap out. So, that's what it was. Then we get Alex Marvarez interviewing Shida, Hakura Shida, and then She said, Dollar Rose, you want me? I want you at Full Gear, said Sheeta. So it looks like we're about to get the rematch between Sheeta and Dollar Rose. I was like, is there any more build to this? Sean Spears, okay, I'll tell you what, you're taking on a jobber named VSK and then make his anime debut. He quickly beats this guy. And then there's a guy in a Mantar helmet outside tossing Halloween candy, and he gets mad at him and pulls him in there because obviously he's in a feud with Scorpio Sky, kind of trash locker room a little bit. And come to find out, under the Mantar mask is Scorpio Sky, and then Scorpio Sky attacks Sean Spears. I was like, okay, well, Scorpio Sky is obviously going to be good as a single star. I guess he's done with SCU, so that's what it is. Kenny Omega taking on Pentagon Jr., which is supposed to be Ray Phoenix. Ray Phoenix got injured. And it's the semifinal, so you already know Hangman won. Kenny Omega the Cleaner is going to be winning. So this matchup, awesome main event here. There's only one spot I just don't like when it comes to these AEW matches, is that Kenny Omega is tossed to the outside, and then Pentagon hits a Panama Sunrise to Kenny Omega from the apron. You know, they had the level stage to the stage on the outside, then brings him in there to get him his finisher, the package pile driver, and Kenny Omega still kicks out. See, there's certain things I'm like, look, I understand the fighting spirit, I understand you're trying to make a good matchup, but that's one thing, in my opinion, you do not kick out of. You know, the package pile driver is Pentagon's finisher, and then you also get a Panama Sunrise on the floor on their level stage. No, you gotta fight that back out. But then one, there's only. And then he also breaks Kenny Omega's arm. The Pentagon does the pullback and breaks Kenny Omega's arm, but then he can't even use that. But then he hits the One Wing Angel one time, which is a very protective move, almost one of the most protective moves in wrestling, and beats Pentagon. I'm just like, he can fight through that. I'm just like, look, I love the Cleaner Kenny Omega. I ain't gonna lie to you, but there's something I'm just like, man, don't even set up for that move or have him reverse that move so he don't take all that kind of damage and then try to kick out. It's just less entertaining to me like that, but. That was AEW, guys. Honestly, this week it goes to NXT. How long we have it? NXT killed it. They actually beat them in the ratings this week, so you know, that was pretty good. But what do you guys think? Did you guys enjoy NXT? How long we have it? Post any comments down below. Make sure you hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button for more wrestling content right here on NC Studios. And make sure you guys finish listen to the podcast. Listen to this on audio. All right, guys, so that was the Wednesday Night War. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, I enjoyed NXT spanking that ass this week. And that is all for the No Gimmick Scene of Wrestling podcast. Actually, a pretty short one here today. So I appreciate my main man, Q Flow the Rookie, sticking out and joining me in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you guys check out spacesphilly.com. That's going to be our part of. Check out all the content they have on there. Lulu and Pop, Lulu Pop Horror Show, Both Sides, and the Mark and Dark Show. Check out the Nerd Coalition's content over there, which is the No Gimmick Scene of Wrestling podcast, Nerdgasm Talk podcast, Turntables, Hip Hop Culture and Beyond, Drunk Thoughts Over Tongue. Check us out on all the podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podbean, all that great stuff. Check us out on YouTube Premium for the podcast snippets that we do put up. Make sure you guys also check out TheRealNerdCoalition.com. Make sure you guys get your Nerd Coalition Studios hoodie and Nerd Coalition Level Up hoodie, along with your Q-Flow layover hoodie. And, of course, you got to go out there and... Oh, don't forget the No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast hoodie. And you guys also got to go out there and fight COVID-19 with the Nerd Coalition Studios mask and the Level Up mask. They're real comfortable. I got one here. It's a white one. It's only because they have available right now. I'm trying to see if I can get it in a black. But, yeah. Get those masks, you know, to help support and everything like that. Check out the War Drum by Q-Flow, and then also wherever you guys get your music on Tidal, on Spotify, and all that great stuff like that. Make sure you guys check out my main man Q-Flow as he's doing big things. 2020, obviously, you know, a year today, everybody back, but you know, so I think things are going to be even better for you in 2021.
Oh, yeah. I think so, man, because you know, culturally this year has been terrible, but personally, this has been the greatest year of my life, man.
Yeah.
Like if I said, if I really sat here and gave you guys a list of everything I did this year, this is honestly one of the greatest years of my life. But that's neither here or there, man.
No, I mean,
just make sure y'all wash y'all hands.
Oh yeah, no, I understand. I understand that as well. So guys, that's it for the No Gimmicks Needed Wrestling Podcast. Shout out to my other co-host, not Deion Sanders, but Prime Time, wherever he's at. Hope he's doing good over there. And once again, this is NCM Place to Be, Chiltrain Mr. Andy, and the man, the myth, the reality, and the revolutionary, Q Flow for the Rookie.
All right, it's been real. Y'all take it easy.
All right, and take us out.
We're bringing nerdgasm to your ears. Welcome to the show. We don't need any gimmicks, you already know. So sit back, relax, and hit the like button. Go and share with your friends and keep the likes coming. Swag on trivia and prompts top five. Either way, it's fun and you're hearing it live. Join with your host, Mr. A&E. Yeah, you know it's the place to be. It's NC.